Check the rock. Hello and welcome to Utecast episode 31. Holy cow, 31 episodes of Utecast this year already. It is hard to believe. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you once again, exploring the Souls curriculum here in the lovely Sound Lab at the even lovelier Brandeis School of San Francisco, where the fog has returned, alas, after several days of beautiful sunshine. We have a foggy day here again. And it's been quite a week here at Brandeis. A fun week. We had some of the Yoms, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, which on Tuesday, that was Israeli Independence Day, for those of you who are not familiar with the phrase, sort of the Israeli 4th of July, as I explained it to people for whom it is new. And we had a fun celebration here with a Tel Aviv beach arrayed by the Parents Association out in the playground yard. Lots of cooking of Israeli salad. And of course, some poetry. I shared a Yehuda Amichai poem with the kids as part of our assembly. And it was fun to have that and to think of our eighth graders who are in Israel right now, in Tel Aviv, in fact, celebrating the same holiday, but in Israel as part of their two-week adventure, a really special trip. I encourage all of you, if you have not already done so, make some time to read some of the notes that are coming home to the community from the Israel trip chaperones. It's really fascinating to hear about how our kids are spending their days out there. Okay, we're going to start, though. We have started, but we're going to start again now with a George Oppen poem. George Oppen will come up in the Yudcast this week. Really fascinating, important 20th century American poet. This is the poem of being numerous. I don't think I'll read all of it. It's a longish one. But we'll read, we'll read the first five sections. One, there are things we live among, and to see them is to know ourselves. Occurrence, a part of an infinite series, the sad marvels. Of this was told a tale of our wickedness. It is not our wickedness. You remember that old town we went to, and we sat in the ruined window, and we tried to imagine that we belonged to those times. It is dead, and it is not dead, and you cannot imagine either its life or its death. The earth speaks, and the salamander speaks. The spring comes and only obscures it. Two. So spoke of the existence of things, an unmanageable pantheon, absolute, but they say arid. A city of the corporations glassed in dreams and images. And the pure joy of the mineral fact, though it is impenetrable as the world, if it is matter, is impenetrable. Three. The emotions are engaged entering the city, as entering any city. We are not coeval with a locality, but we imagine others are. We encounter them. Actually, a populace flows through the city. This is a language, therefore, of New York. Four. For the people of that flow are new, the old new to age as the young to youth, and to their dwelling, for which the tarred roofs and the stoops and doors, a world of stoops, are petty alibi and satirical wit, will not serve. 5. The great stone above the river in the pylon of the bridge, 1875. Frozen in the moonlight, in the frozen air over the footpath, consciousness which has nothing to gain, which awaits nothing, which loves itself. To say, I've always really loved that phrase, the old new to age as the young to youth. There is something remarkable about the fact that we are, arriving to each moment of our lives newly, without any opportunity for preparation, particularly. There's that my mother used to say when she was still alive, that she always felt surprised at her age because she didn't feel particularly different. It's an experience that I have had as well. So this morning, Russell Cohen, who some of you may know, he's the chair of our board of trustees and dad to Ethan and Joe and Sydney, who is a graduate of this fine institution, sent me an article. So Russell sent me an article by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks about Judaism's three voices. And it's kind of a drosh on this week's parsha, but in it, Rabbi Sacks describes the competing voices of our traditions, the king or the judge, the prophet, and the priest. The first mode of thinking is practical and informed by experience. The second is creative and impassioned. The third is rule-driven and detailed. The three together speak to Judaism's insistence on moral complexity rather than simplicity, on numerous perspectives in place of a singular one. Think of the Talmud's array of commentaries, or all the jokes about 10 Jews, 11 opinions. I started my day here at Brandeis in a second grade classroom, talking to the kids about their study of poetry. I was invited to come by the teacher, and I always love when teachers invite me in as a guest speaker to talk about poetry, because as you, my listeners, know, poetry is something I enjoy talking about. So I told these kids about my discovery of Walt Whitman in high school and how amazed I was by his capacity to tell his own story as the story of his country and his world. I didn't use the phrase with them, but I was thinking of his line, quote, "I am large, I contain multitudes." How he insisted it was not a contradiction to be all of the citizens of a country, to speak with all of their voices at once. A century later, George Oppen would say it again in his urban opus of Being Numerous, which we read the first five sections of here, and this comes from a later section. The line is, "The shuffling of a crowd is nothing, well, nothing but the many that we are." The kids wanted to know what poetry had meant in my life. This morning and this week, I would say it means much the same as what being Jewish means to me, that we are many, that we contain multitudes, that moral complexity is the norm and it is the power of our tradition, that we are at our best when we come together, even within ourselves, in critical dialogue. I believe that in doing so, we imagine new possibilities for ourselves, for our children, and for our world. And that's what I told these second graders this morning, that the word poetry comes from a Greek word, poiein, which meant to bring into being, to create. And so I told them, following Walt Whitman, the poetry that is most meaningful to me is poetry that is able to speak to a specific individual experience, but use that as a lens onto the wider world around us. And I think when poetry is at its best, it's also imagining a new world or imagining new possibilities for our world. So with that, with George Oppen and Walt Whitman and Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and with all of our friends here at Brandeis who have been enjoying this sunny and fun week that has now gone foggy but is no less fun for it. I will wish all of you a weekend full of being numerous, my friends. Shabbat shalom to all of you listening on Shabbat. We will see you back here next week.